This week's parasha is called Vayachi, and he, Jacob, lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years before he died at the ripe old age of 147 years of age. They lived a lot longer back then. But the Lord showed favor to Jacob by blessing him with 17 more years of life to make up for the 17 years that he was separated from his beloved son, who he thought had died. You know, Jacob was 17 years old when he went into slavery in Egypt. And so the Lord blessed Jacob by allowing him to make up for those 17 years that he never had the opportunity to be with his son. And the story of Joseph is an amazing narrative. And it's really filled with many messianic types of Yeshua. There are no less than 22 types of the Messiah found in the life of Joseph, you know, the most of any other biblical character in the Bible. And I've given a message on this before, just the messianic types of Joseph that is seen in that is revealed in Yeshua. And it's really quite amazing message there. But you know, last week Jerry gave an excellent message on how Joseph made the most of his opportunities when he experienced suffering and when he experienced obstacles in his life. And how important it is for us to have the same attitude when we're facing obstacles, when we're facing struggles in life. Because our attitude will always determine our altitude. That's kind of a saying that stayed with me all these years. Our attitude will always determine our altitude and how far we go. You know, Genesis closes with Joseph's brothers fearing what he may do to them after their father had died. And they sent a message to Joseph, pleading with him to forgive them for the evil they had done to him. Imagine after 17 years in Egypt, they still believed that Joseph was going to seek revenge on them for selling him as a slave. And so Joseph reassured them that what they meant for evil, Adonai used it for good in order to bring about a great deliverance and to save many people. And Joseph had come to realize that all the circumstances in his life, both good and bad, were all working together according to God's purpose. And it was all part of God's plan, even in bringing them into Egypt. You know, during this time of the serious famine that was taking place in Egypt, because during those 400 years that they were in Egypt, they began to form and grow into a nation. And next week, we will begin to read about the beginning of Israel's deliverance from Egypt after being in slavery for hundreds of years. So Genesis ends with Joseph dying at 110 years of age. He didn't quite live as long as his father. But he made his brethren promise to carry his bones out of Egypt and bury them in the promised land. And the main theme in this week's parasha is Yaakov blessing Joseph and his 12 sons before he died. And, you know, it was an ancient practice among the patriarchs to bless their sons. Now, Genesis 49:20 records that these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. And it was a prophetic blessing that determined their future and their destiny. And this is why sons have always valued the blessing of their father. And this biblical truth has not changed in 4,000 years. Even to this very day, the children long to have the affirmation and blessing of their father. See, a person's relationship with their heavenly father is often shaped by the type of relationship they have with their earthly father. How they're raised, how they were raised and so forth can really have a part in helping to shape their identity. Most issues in a person's life can be traced back to the atmosphere in the home. How they were raised, the type of father who raised them. You know, we live in a generation of fatherless children. Many fathers have abandoned their homes and have left their children to fend for themselves. And this is one reason why our society is so dysfunctional. Many sons and daughters have had to struggle their way through life, trying to grow up without a father to guide them. And I can speak from experience because I was one of them. My father abandoned me and our family when I was 7 years old. And my mother, blessed be her memory, struggled to survive and did her best to raise 4 children on her own. And so I grew up feeling cheated because I did not have a father who was there for me, you know, during the important times in my life. And it wasn't until many years later when I became a believer that I was able to forgive my father for what he had done to our family. But praise God, my father did come to faith before he died. And he actually asked every one of his children for forgiveness. So I was really, really encouraged and comforted by that. But it's been proven by spiritual leaders and family counselors that blessing and affirming our children, particularly by the father, is a key to their mental and spiritual health and their happiness and their well-being. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not antagonize your children, lest they become discouraged and lose heart." I know this doesn't necessarily relate to all of us, but for some of it does. And sadly, some homes have not worked out the way that they have thought. And so it has caused a lot of pain in the family. But you know, a home that is filled with anger and strife will hinder the development of children. But a home that consistently practices loving affirmation with proper discipline of sons and daughters will strengthen a child's character, their self-esteem, their identity, and promote self-confidence so they can grow in stature and favor with God and man. Statistics have shown by ratio of population that Jewish people worldwide tend to prosper financially, educationally, emotionally, and in their family relationships more than most other cultures in the world. And this is because Messianic and Jewish families have developed a culture of blessing. Not only on Shabbat, but when we bless our sons and daughters, but also at the critical stages in a person's life. And so in a Jewish home, a child is blessed at the time of birth, and particularly on the 8th day, when a son is circumcised and given his name. And there's a special ceremony of blessing that when our sons are acknowledged and that they are recognized as part of the Abrahamic covenant. When a son or daughter reaches the age of 12 or 13, they celebrate their bat mitzvah. And some of our young people here in our congregation, Rachel was one of them that went through a bat mitzvah. Being the son or daughter of the commandment. In this age of accountability, when we bless our sons and daughters and honor them for reaching this milestone in their life. And at the time of marriage, there is also special blessings pronounced upon the man and the woman as they stand under the chuppah and are joined together as husband and wife. And this was Robert and Janet's experience last Sunday when they, you know, officially were married after 17 years of engagement. In any case, we're going to have a special time for them in the Oneg. But you know, every Friday night, I'm going to get into the Torah portion, but I really think this is important foundation. Every night when we celebrate Shabbat, it's a custom to bless our sons and our daughters. It's important to remember the blessing of the Father is so important that even Yeshua himself did not begin his ministry until he had publicly received the blessing of his Heavenly Father. It tells us in Luke 3:22 that when Yeshua went to the waters of Mikvah, as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You're my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It says that Yeshua was about 30 years of age when he began his ministry. And so he began his ministry by having the blessing of the Father. Yeshua had a loving and intimate relationship with his Father and was in total submission to him. In John 5:19, Yeshua said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless he sees the Father doing it. For whatever the Father does, the Son does in like manner. And so Yeshua provided an example, he provided a model of how a father and son are to be in relationship with each other. You know, the word blessing is mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible, and 60 times in Genesis alone. So Genesis is a book full of blessing. In the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1:28, God's first act of creating Adam and Eve was to speak a blessing over them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And then in Genesis 2, when God created the heavens and the earth, Adonai blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he created and made. So God imparts a special blessing on the Shabbat. Not on any other day of the week, only on the Shabbat. God blesses the seventh day and he made it holy. If we honor and keep it holy in the way that God intended, then we'll experience the blessing of the Shabbat. In the days of Noah, after the flood, the Lord reaffirmed the blessing of Adam and Eve on Noah when he blessed the family and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. There's only 8 who came out of the ark after the flood. Only 8 people repopulated the earth. And so they indeed been fruitful, multiplied, because now there's over 7 billion people in the world today. And so let's look at this week's parasha to learn the value of the blessing. And beginning in Genesis 47, if you could turn to Genesis 47. Beginning in verse 29, when the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son, Joseph, and said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. And I will do as you said. I will do as you say, he said. And swear to me, he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And then Jacob said, bring your 2 sons to me so that I may bless them. So he took his 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, along with him, so he could receive a blessing from his father. In Genesis 48, verse 3 to 4, it tells us, Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan. And there he blessed me and said to me, I'm going to make you fruitful and will increase your numbers. I will make you a community of peoples, and I will give you this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you. And then down in verse 8, when Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, who are these? They are the sons of God who has given me, Joseph said to his father. And Israel said, bring them to me so I may bless them. Now Israel's eyes, now notice, you know, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And so in this particular portion, you know, Jacob's using the name Israel. But now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again. And now God has allowed me to see your children also. Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left towards Israel's right hand, and he brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his hand and put it to Ephraim's head, though he was a younger, and crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. And may they increase greatly upon the earth. And so when Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's. And Joseph said to him, "No, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. He blessed them that day and said, "In your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh." So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. You know, it's worth noting that every Friday night when we celebrate Shabbat, it's customary for fathers to bless their sons and their daughters with the blessing of Jacob. And this is actually where the custom originated from. Jacob said, "In this name will Israel announce his blessing, Vasim ka Elohim ka Ephraim v'ki Manasseh. May God make your sons to be like Ephraim and Manasseh." It's also become traditional to bless our daughters as well by saying, Vasim ka Elohim ka Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, Valiah. May God bless Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. You know, as Messianic believers, I've kind of taken the liberty to add the name Yeshua to this blessing. May our sons become like Ephraim and Manasseh and Yeshua HaMashiach. Because our prayer is that our sons and daughters will be conformed more and more into His image and His likeness. And in every Shabbat service, we also bless our sons and daughters. Both during the Torah service and the end of the Torah service, we bless our children, and then we end with God's blessing upon us, the Aaronic benediction. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace." You know, and on Erev Shabbat, it's also customary to bless our wives from Proverbs 31. The Eshet Chayil, the women of valor. And my wife, I'm really privileged to have a Proverbs 31 woman, wife. She's an amazing wife, an amazing mother and grandmother, and she's been a great partner in ministry ever since we began. You know, Proverbs 31 begins with the words, "A good wife who can find? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and nothing shall he lack. She renders him good, if not evil, all the days of her life." And a part of this blessing says that her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her. You know, husbands, we need to praise our wives. And we need to bless them. We need to encourage and honor them for who they are and for all that they do in the family. And so that's really an important part of a husband, for those who are married, to really bless your wife and to thank God for bringing her into your life. We know fathers also receive a blessing when we gather together on once a month for every Shabbat dinner. We bless everybody. Psalms 112 is a blessing for men. "Blessed is a man who fears Adonai, who delights greatly in his commandments. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." And may that be true of all the men here today. May our hearts be steadfast, always trusting in the Lord. So when we understand the value of blessing our wives, our children, our grandchildren, and one another, it can have a real impact on our lives and shape at the future and destiny of our families as believers. And it can really leave a good legacy behind, because we all want to leave a good legacy as mothers and fathers with our children. So after Jacob blessed Joseph's two sons, he called his 12 sons and he said, gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in days to come. And you see, these blessings were prophetic in nature. Jacob's sons who received these prophetic blessings would later die in Egypt. And they did not live to see the fulfillment of these blessings in their lifetime. And so these blessings were not necessarily intended to define the future of Jacob's sons personally, but more as a tribal blessing, as tribal leaders. Because these 12 sons were chosen to form the foundation for the nation of Israel. And these prophetic blessings were intended to foretell the future of Israel as they grew into nationhood. And so these blessings revealed the character, the nature, and legacy of each tribe and how they would be fulfilled in history. It would take 400 years in Egypt before these tribes would be called out as a nation. And when God would deliver them from the bondage of slavery. They went in free, as free men and women, but they came out as slaves when God delivered them from the bondage of slavery. And that's the book of Exodus begins to reveal God's plan of delivering his people from the bondage of slavery. But it's significant that some of these blessings were also rebukes and curses. So if you read through Genesis 49, there are not all positive blessings. There are five sons who received an admonition, you know, from Jacob. Reuben, Levi, Simeon, Dan, and Benjamin all received words of admonition. You know, the main emphasis of these blessings in Genesis 49 is on Joseph and on Judah, the tribe of Judah. 10 of the 25 verses deal with these two major figures, which would later have messianic implications. All the sons of Jacob were blessed because they became the founding fathers of the nation of Israel. And they would emerge victorious from Egypt as children of Abraham. And these 12 tribes was God's promise to Abraham that his descendants would be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And so it was through Abraham's descendants, these 12 tribes who grew and became a nation of people, that God began to bring a blessing to all the nations of the earth. But let me just share one example of Jacob's firstborn son. And it wasn't a positive blessing. Jacob said to Reuben, you are my firstborn, my light, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power, turbulent as waters. You will no longer excel, for you went up to your father's bed onto my couch and defiled it. See, Reuben, as a firstborn, could have expected to have special privileges as a firstborn. God didn't always honor the firstborn. You know, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the firstborn, but God blessed Jacob. Jacob, you know, blessed Ephraim rather than Manasseh, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. And Reuben was the firstborn, and yet he did not receive the blessing as the firstborn. It says that Reuben could have expected three things as the firstborn: the birthright, the priesthood as Jacob's first fruits, and the throne because of his dignity and power. But the Jewish sages noted that he lost all three benefits. The birthright went to Joseph, the priesthood to Levi, and the throne to Judah. Reuben is a warning to all of us, the danger of trusting and seeking after privilege and position, that just because someone's a firstborn did not mean they will have received the blessing of the firstborn, because there's consequences to our actions. Reuben was a firstborn like Esau, and he presumed on his privilege and he lost it. And we know that Esau, a sad story about Esau, he did not value his birthright nor his inheritance. He sold his birthright for a bowl of stew, because he was more concerned about his appetite than he was about the birthright. And then later he lost his inheritance as the firstborn, even though it was intended to be for Jacob, because God revealed that to Rachel in the womb, one of the children in the womb. But Genesis 27:34 says, Esau later regretted his actions, and he pleaded with Isaac, his father, with a loud and bitter cry. But you have only one blessing, O my father. What about me? Bless me also, he begged. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks of Esau. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. You know, Jacob's prophetic word came true in Reuben's life because Reuben's descendants later settled in the Transjordan, and they soon disappeared from history. And there was no prophet, no judge, or king would ever come from the tribe of Reuben. Reuben's descendants were characterized by lack of leadership and strength in character. However, in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, Reuben is mentioned as one of the 12 tribes of the 144,000. It's interesting that the tribe of Dan is not mentioned in Revelation 7 among the 144,000. Manasseh took his place. And so the 144,000, we know 12,000 from each tribe will have an important role in the last days. And so Reuben will make a comeback in the last days. And God will use 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben to have an impact on the world, as all the others will have as well. And I don't have time to go through each one of these 12 sons of Jacob, but it's a fascinating study. I encourage you to take some time to study through these blessings and curses, because there are some rebukes that were given, and I think that's kind of in every family. You know, there's times where our children are disobedient and they need to be rebuked and they need to be instructed, and that's just part of trying to raise a godly family. But I want to just focus on Joseph's blessing. You know, Jacob's beloved son. If we turn to Genesis 49, verse 22, there's actually more blessings for Joseph than any other tribe mentioned here, even more so than Judah. It tells us in Genesis 49, verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring, whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arm stayed limber. Because of the hand of the Almighty, one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you, with blessings of the heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breast and the womb, your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. And so there's kind of an interesting metaphor that's used here of Jacob. It's kind of reminiscent of a well-watered tree that is so healthy and fruit-laden that its branches hang lower over garden walls, offering its fruit to all who pass by. You know, just the fruit is just so abundant. The branches are just falling over and just filled with fruit. And this was certainly what Joseph had been for his family and the surrounding world during the 7 years of famine that ravaged Egypt and the land of Canaan. But you know, Joseph's blessings included all of areas of life, focusing especially on the fertility of the land, the underground springs of water, and the fertility of childbearing. And these blessings echo God's original blessing to Adam and Eve for them to be fruitful and multiply. And certainly Joseph's descendants were fruitful and they multiplied. And the tribe of Joseph was abundantly blessed, and it's a prophetic picture of the righteous believers who one day will be victorious and inherit the earth, as Yeshua promised. He promised in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And the blessings that we will one day experience in our eternal future will far exceed anything we could ever experience in this lifetime. Yeshua said, I came that you might have life and life abundantly. Now, there's abundance of God's blessing that we all experience in this life because of our relationship with Messiah. If you're a child of God, there's tremendous blessings that you have in your life, even though you may not even be aware of those blessings. Because God's word is very clear on how He has blessed each one of us. Ephesians 1 says, blessed to be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in the Messiah. The new covenant is full of God's promise of blessing to His people. Beginning with the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, let me just briefly share the Sermon on the Mount. 9 blessings that God promised, that Yeshua promised. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, meaning humble. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. As the deer pants for the water, so our soul pants for the Lord in the song that we sang earlier. You know, David's heart was, my soul thirsts for me, for you my flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land where there's no water. Thus I've beheld you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And that's what we all long to see, is God's power and His glory be manifested in the sanctuary, in our lives as well. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And if we go to Ephesians 1, I'd love to go to Ephesians 1 to remind us of the tremendous blessings that God's given to us. There's no less than 15 blessings we all have experienced because of our faith and our trust in the Messiah. And I encourage you this coming week to go through Ephesians 1 and really meditate upon all those blessings and to really count your blessings of how God has truly blessed us. It said that we were chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, we have been adopted into the family of God. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, which He has freely given to us. And He made known to us the mystery of His will. We have been promised an eternal inheritance that's reserved in heaven for us. It's waiting in heaven right now for us. We have received the word of truth that has set us free. To whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And it's by truth that God sets us free. Because Yeshua said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We have been sealed to the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given to us as a down payment of our future inheritance. Imagine the Holy Spirit, God's presence, very presence, His omnipresence lives and dwells in each one of us. We have been blessed with given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of our heart have become enlightened so that we can know what is the hope of our calling. We are called the riches of God's inheritance, and we've received power from the Holy Spirit. And we've been raised up and we're seated together with Him in the heavenly places. We're so blessed that we don't even realize it. God declares us a blessed people, but we don't often walk in that blessing. But the consummation of God's blessings will go far beyond this, because it's God's intention to bless us into eternity. We'll experience even greater blessings after we step into the kingdom of God. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't experienced anything yet. But you know, this was all the result of God entered into a covenant promise with Abraham and his descendants 4,000 years ago. A promise that he said he would fulfill regardless of Israel's disobedience, regardless of what they did. God still fulfilled his promise. And we are the fulfillment of that promise today. So then how then can we apply this truth of God's blessing in our lives? We experience God's blessing through obedience. If you want God's blessing in your life, then it's through obedience. What did the Lord say to Israel in Deuteronomy 28? If you're diligent to obey the voice of the Lord your God and keep all my commandments, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. And then he lists all those blessings. But then he also lists all the curses. If you're not diligent to obey the voice of the Lord your God, then all these curses will come upon you. So if we really want to experience the fullness of God's blessing, then we need to walk a path of obedience. Because there's a direct relationship between obedience and blessing. You know, as parents, we can have a major part in helping to shape the life, the destiny, and future of our children. By praying over them, speaking words of blessing, affirmation, praising them, loving, and encouraging them, our sons and daughters. You know, we really need to be better at affirming our children and blessing them and one another. Because when we provoke our children to anger, when we are harsh and angry with them, when we are critical and impatient with their behavior, we can damage their identity, their self-worth. See, many young people grow up as crooked arrows. I often mention that as an illustration from Psalms 127. Many of our young people grew up as crooked arrows, seeming to never quite hit their mark in life. We want our children to be straight arrows that will hit their mark in life. And we as parents have a big part in making that happen, with God's help, of course. But you know, the power of the blessing is not only for our children, but also for our wives, our husbands, and one another. When we speak words of blessing, as we are commanded to do in the scriptures, we can have an impact. You know, when we have an atmosphere where there's encouragement and positive, and we're encouraging one another, loving one another, bearing one another's burdens, God will put his blessing upon us. See, those who grow up in a home where there's ongoing affirmation, praise, encouragement, and blessing, the family will be healthier, it'll be happier, and more well-balanced. When we honor and bless someone, we place value in that person. But the opposite is also true. Growing up in a home that is negative and critical and judgmental, seldom hearing the words, "I love you," "I appreciate you," never hearing any praise for what you've done, can cause deep wounds and dysfunction and damage a person's identity. The high priestly blessing that we pronounce every Shabbat over our children and over our congregation at the end of every service are words of prophetic blessing that Adonai wants to bless us with. There are three areas in the Aaronic benediction that God promised to bless us with. And let me just go through those. The Lord bless you. And we hear this every week, twice in the service for our children and the end of the service for everyone. The Lord bless you and keep you. It's a blessing of care and protection for God's people. God promises to protect us from the evil and from the evil one of the world. He promises he will never leave us or forsake us. May the Lord bless you and keep you from evil. The second part of the blessing says, Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. This is God's promise to pour his divine favor on us. As his face shines upon us, it expresses his love and favor, that you are my beloved children in whom I am well pleased. The Lord didn't only say that to Yeshua. He's saying it to us, that you are my beloved children in whom I am well pleased. The third part of the blessing, Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. You know, Adonai is not giving us a greeting as we close our service saying, Shalom, see you next week. That's not really the whole purpose of it. The word peace is not just a goodbye. It's a manifestation of God's power upon his people. It means to be complete, to perfect, and make whole. And that's what God's wanting to do for us. He wants us to be complete in the Messiah. He wants us to be perfect and make us whole. And that we're being prepared to become a bride without spot or blemish. And Adonai wants his wholeness and his wellness to be upon us. So when we pronounce a blessing, you know, God is pronouncing a blessing of protection, of divine favor, of wholeness and well-being upon our lives. I want to end with just one final word from Psalms 133. It says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. And for this last part, it's so important. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So when there's unity, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, God will command a blessing to come upon us. So if we're not in unity as a congregation, we're not going to experience the fullness of God's blessing. When we come together in unity and we're obedient to God's promises in our lives, the Lord will command a blessing to come upon us. And I know that we all want a blessing, so we need to be careful how we speak to one another and how we may judge one another or criticize one another. God wants us to encourage and build up one another. He wants us to be a family, a mishpulka that really walks in unity, because then God will command a blessing to be upon us. Amen. So I just want to encourage you about the importance of the blessing. You know, we have been blessed as a people of God, and we need to really count our blessings. We know that it's been a difficult year for us, for all of us, but God is the one that's still in control, and he will fulfill his promises in our life, regardless of what's happening in the world today. That's why coming together on Shabbat is like a sanctuary in time. We're set apart. Who cares about what's happening in the world right now? It's what God is doing right now in our hearts right now. God wants us just to come and separate ourselves from things of the world, to come together for a period of time on the Shabbat and just enjoy worshiping him, being encouraged, praying for each other, fellowshipping one another, so we can go out and face this world once again. And we become the congregation gathered, and then we become the congregation scattered. And so let's just really seek his face. So Father, thank you, God. Lord, how you have so blessed us. We're such a blessed people. Lord, you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in the Messiah. Lord, help us to begin to appreciate the blessings that you give in our lives. Lord, even though many of us are facing challenges and difficulties in our life, Lord, you said that all the suffering of this present time is not worth being compared to the glory that will one day be revealed to us. And Lord, we know we're getting closer and closer to that day. The coming of the Messiah is drawing near. And so, Lord, help us to lift up our eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. There are so many out there who do not have hope, who do not have the blessings that we have. Lord God, help us to share your blessing with others, and to share the good news of Messiah with those who are looking for, who are hopeless and are looking for something to hope for. Lord, we have that hope which is an anchor of our faith, a hope that is sure and steadfast. So God, just thank you, God, for your blessing in our life. Lord, help us to walk away today just so thankful and encouraged. Lord, you truly blessed us beyond measure. We just thank you, Father. We praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right, let's just stand together as we're going to, you know, close the worship. You're invited to come and join us after the service downstairs for a time on Oneg, that we could just have some good fellowship together. Praise God. Amen. Thank you.
me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
That's all we all, that's, you know, that song is so true. As we draw closer to Him, you know, that's all we need is to be in His presence. I know that many of us have come from broken homes, you know, and we're all the result of that. I speak to myself because I know that I came from a broken home, grew up without a father, but, you know, look at what God has done in my life. since then. And now I'm a living testimony of what God can do and how we can restore a young boy whose heart has been broken, and he can restore and transform each one of us. And he can do that to each one of us. I know that some of us have had to go through some painful times in our families. But God is faithful, and he promises that he will, you know, bring his blessing into our life as we learn to seek him, as we don't become discouraged. You know, it's great to see, you know, another father and a daughter, Michael and his daughter Rachel, you know, being involved in the worship. It's good to see, you know, when you see that kind of example happening in a congregation, you know, to see our children grow up and to really take a part in seeing, you know, God working in their lives as well. So Lord, we just thank you, God. We know there's a lot of hurt. Many of us have had grown up a lot of hurt, you know, wives and husbands. Lord God, we've all experienced pain in our life from expectations that have not been fulfilled in our lives. And Lord, that we are the sad result of that today. But Lord God, we know that we serve a powerful God that is able to change and transform our lives. And to take our lives, no matter how broken they are, and restore them and heal them and bring great blessing so that we can fulfill our purpose and our destiny in this life. Lord, our past does not always define us, Lord God. Lord, it's our relationship with you that will define us. So God, help us to walk in obedience so we can truly experience your blessing in our lives. So Lord God, help us just walk away today, just encouraged and uplifted in our hearts, knowing, Lord, that we are your workmanship, creating Messiah for good works, that we would walk in them in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let me just close with a benediction. Yavracha Adonai v'yishmeracha ye'er Adonai panav lecha v'ichonecha yisa Adonai panav lecha v'sa'im lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his face, and give you his shalom, his peace. In Yeshua's name, amen. Let's just go in the peace of Adonai. Hallelujah. Amen.